The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, December 23rd. If you are watching with us on YouTube, we go live, of course, after every, well, almost every primetime game or, standalone game. We will not be live on Christmas as a programming note. If you are listening to the podcast, happy Christmas Eve. It is Friday, December 24th. And we're going to break down a pretty wild start to week 16 featuring the 49ers and the Titans. Joining me to do so. Oh, and also if you're listening to the podcast on Spotify, they have added 5-star ratings. Give us a Christmas present or a holiday present, whatever holiday you celebrate, and give us a 5-star rating. Or they added ratings and give us a 5-star rating. Joining me to break down this game, John Breach and Ryan Wilson. Or Ryan Wilson and John Breach, excuse me. That was weird. What's up, fellas?
I have two festive trees behind me. Breach has one big fat festive tree on his Christmas shirt. Very nice, Breach.
I like that little, it doesn't really look like a shirt so much as
it's a sweatshirt.
Something that
it is also not a sweatshirt. It is a Christmas onesie. You guys clearly didn't get my email about wearing Christmas pajamas for the show tonight. Thanks. It looks
like something that somebody would wear to a furry convention.
It's a whole
plushie convention, if you will.
There it is. Does
oh my god? Stand up back up and give us a full turn. All right,
it's a whole onesie.
A full turn, Breach.
Does it have the feeties too? The footies?
This is creepy.
Look at it. He looks like a Ewok. He's an happening? Ewok. Look at this guy.
And that, folks, is why you subscribe to the
Holy
YouTube channel.
Holy moly, in the daytime. You don't see that every day. Merry Christmas, people.
This podcast is rated MA-17. Woo! Do not let your children watch. Christmas, guys. That's what I was telling you.
Breach, are the feet enclosed? I can't remember what those are called.
Those are called footy pajamas, Ryan, and that's what my toddler wears. So, no, the feet are not enclosed.
I thought you guys shared clothes.
Oh,
Walked right into that one. That does look comfortable. I'll give you that.
No, I'm comfortable. Just like everyone else in Nashville after tonight's game.
Oh, what a big jam. Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away. Dipsy-doo, dunkaroo.
I actually let both those dunks go on so I could get a tweet out about the live show, John Breach's onesie. Breach, I love it.
An orange Ewok, says Clarence Yee, and that's exactly what I thought. As well.
Patrick Shealy wants to know about a furry convention. There was a joke about it on 30 Rock when Liz Lemon goes up to I think a reader at, what's the day? Because this character's name. Anyway, she goes up there and she's like, she sees this like handsome guy. She's like, hey, you are my date for the wedding right now. I got to get rid of this other guy. And he's like, oh, I like that we're being honest. I'm a plushie. So that's how I know. That's the only reason I would know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Although, I would say Breach's outfit looks quite comfortable. Adult onesies. I'm here for him. So, 49ers, Titans. Titans win 20-17 after a furious second half comeback. I don't know about furious. Semi-furious second half comeback.
Kyle Shanahan's furious right now. The comeback was it was slow motion, but it came on and didn't stop.
I mean, the first half was an absolute domination. I believe that the Titans had like 35 yards at halftime.
And there was about 7 to 10 points left on the board.
Yeah. And Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, they could have scored a lot more points. And the thing is with that sort of game where if you get Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers with a big lead, you would think that they can lean into that run game. Deebo Samuel, Jeff Wilson, who looked awesome in the first half and just pushed the ball down the field. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't great. And A.J. Brown just frankly took over in this game. I mean, he had a 55 yards in the first half, excuse me. Looking at the first half summary, 191 to 55. The Titans were 3-7 on third down at halftime. The 49ers were 1-4. I mean, just they just couldn't. They were 1-3 in the red zone. Tennessee didn't even make it to the red zone. That was the issue. You had to convert in the red zone.
Shanahan, I don't want to blame him for the throws. Jimmy Garoppolo missed a wide open Kyle Juszczyk for what would have been a walk-in touchdown. A moonwalk touchdown and a Christmas onesie, he would have made that so it looked so easy. Threw the interception in the end zone.
Horrible interception in the end zone.
On the second drive. Like, I don't know if that's on Kittle or who it is, but it was ugly either way. Threw a terrible interception in the second half early on. So Breach and I were on HQ on Wednesday because, you know, Brinson refused to work, and we couldn't talk up the 49ers and Garoppolo and Shanahan, the running game, enough. They had been 5-1 coming into this game, and it looked like they were going to be 6-1 and going to blow out the Titans. And then, you know, three passes later, that's a wrap. And I don't know, like, I don't know if Ryan Tannehill was drunk in the first half and he took some sober up medicine at half. Like, I don't know what happened, but these teams switch uniforms at halftime. And Tannehill came out a blazing. You mentioned A.J. Brown. Deebo Samuel might be the best player in football, by the way. That guy can do everything. But the defense picked it up. Bud Dupree is playing well. They signed him in the offseason coming off the ACL injury. He came back last week in the first after missing some games with an abdominal injury. So, again, I say it every week. We don't know what team's going to show up in a given week. And this week it's the Titans.
Going to show up in a given half.
In a given series. So, yeah, yay, Tennessee. Breach, you picked the 49ers because I heard you can't go back on it. What's your excuse?
My excuse is that I did not know their offense would just get on the flight home at halftime. How was I supposed to know that, Wilson? I thought,
fair enough.
There was no, and it is, you have to blame this loss on Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, obviously the defense could have played a little bit better, but they shut the Titans out in the first half. What more do you want? If you hold a team to 20 points, you think your offense can do enough to win. And you mentioned those first three possessions. If he hits, if he doesn't throw the interception, at minimum, they get a field goal on that drive because they're inside the 10-yard line. If he doesn't miss his wide-open receiver for a touchdown on that third possession, that's a walk-in touchdown. He literally could have crawled in for the touchdown before anyone could have got there to tag him.
In a Christmas onesie.
He could have changed into a Christmas onesie and then still made it to the end zone. So at a minimum, it should have been 17-0 at that point. And I think if it got to 17-0,
I think 20-0 because they should have gotten a field goal out of the interception that Jimmy G threw. Like, don't turn the ball over there. You have to come away with a field goal there. You cannot throw an interception there.
Saying
that the first interception, at worst case, you get a field goal on the in the red zone. Yeah.
Right.
And then you're saying if he makes a good throw to Juszczyk, it's a walk or a stroll.
It's a touchdown. So after three possessions, on the possession where Jimmy threw the interception, I'm not giving them a touchdown. I'm saying they're inside the 10-yard line. That's a field goal. That isn't like you're getting at least a field goal. And so if you go up 17-0, the Titans, I think, are done. And so they didn't because of bad throws by Jimmy. And it wasn't, you know, you look at the stats and two interceptions is horrible. Missing a wide open guy for a touchdown is horrible. But then there was also a dropped interception. He had a couple more bad throws. He was benefiting. His numbers were okay because, guys like Deebo Samuel getting huge yards after catch. But this was the game I think everyone who isn't sold on the 49ers was waiting for Jimmy Garoppolo to have. And it just happened to be on national television the day before Christmas Eve. And so a lot of people were probably watching. And now a lot of people are probably thinking, I cannot take the 49ers as a serious playoff contender. Like, sure, they'll get to the playoffs, but a serious Super Bowl contender.
So, Brinson, let me ask you this, because Raymond Kidder asked this in the chats. Any thoughts that the Titans offense just needed a couple quarters to mesh after being injured for so long? That's a fair point, because offensive line was a piecemeal group.
I don't know that it's that necessarily. I think it might be more of the play calling in the first half and the deficit, the double digit deficit at halftime. They came out And I think that maybe Mike Vrabel went to Todd Downing and said, hey, bro, listen, you're going to throw A.J. Brown the ball. Like, you're just going to dial up plays to throw A.J. Brown the ball, because that's sort of what they did. And the 49ers defense did a horrible job of adjusting early on. They didn't, after the first couple of catches, they still kept leaving A.J. Brown in single coverage. He also had a massive OPI on a huge third down conversion, but that's neither here nor there. He ended up having a huge game, and it wasn't until late when they doubled him. And at that point, the Titans started getting like Jeff Swaim and Michael Pruitt open in the middle, because the 49ers had rotated so much coverage over to A.J. Brown that these tight ends that you don't hear about ever were kind of running wide open. So I think it was more about a lack of adjustment from Kyle Shanahan and his staff, and good adjustments by Mike Vrabel and his staff that all of a sudden the 49ers are on their heels and they're losing. And they have to start throwing instead of doing. The 49ers never got a chance to really settle in and do what they wanted to do, because.
Yeah, well, they did in the first half. How do you make adjustments as Kyle Shanahan when your quarterback decides to be terrible?
You put in your other quarterback that you drafted the third overall pick.
Okay.
I'm saying that the 49ers game plan coming in was sound, and it got them a lead. And at that point, what we've seen for San Francisco in their winning streak, or this run where they've been winning games, is that at that point, they start to really, you lean into the ground game. You move the chains, you melt the clock, you pound the football, and you force your opponent to become one-dimensional. But the Titans came out, and they get the field goal. It's actually a decent stop by the 49ers offense, or defense, excuse me. And then immediately, Jimmy G makes a terrible interception. Touchdown by the Titans. It's 10-10. And I think it's just one of those where your head starts spinning
and that was literally 90 seconds of game time where it went from 10-0 to 10-10.
Yeah.
And another thing, kind of the point of what the listener asked on the question about maybe AJ Brown just trying to get your chemistry back, because he'd been out for a few weeks on injured reserve. It also could be, you know, the Titans didn't have their starting left guard, their starting left tackle. They thought their offensive line was just going to be a giant hole in this game, where it was just going to seep and Tannehill was going to get crushed. And it felt like they were trying to make short passes in the first half, because they didn't know how long Tannehill was going to have time to throw. And they thought he might get killed back there if they tried to start throwing downfield. And it feels like at halftime, Tannehill said, guys, I actually have time to throw. The line's holding up well. We can do a little bit more in the second half. And then it was like the offensive staff was like, all right, well, let's rewrite the playbook. Let's start going downfield. And on two out of every three throws, you need to go to A.J. Brown. And so, I mean, it was just unbelievable what the Titans weren't able to do in the first half and then turn around and do what they did in the second half.
I think that your boy Randy Bullock tried his best to miss that final kick. Oh my God. Was close.
That was so close.
That was all I could hear in my head was, oh, and he missed.
That's all he heard.
Well, and so the other thing is the 49ers' third possession, so they're – second possession, excuse me. So their first possession of the second half, it's 10-3. Jimmy G first play is an interception. I mean, it's just, you can't do that. The second possession, they go 8 plays, 45 yards or 35 net yards, excuse me, and get 2 first downs. They have a 4th-and-1. They're going for it. Trent Williams gets called for a false start. And so they have 4th-and-6 at Tennessee's 40. And at that point they go for it anyway. I know that you don't want to kick it, because that's what, a 56-yard field goal, 57-yard field goal.
Yeah, that's fine. It was a tough. The pass was impossible to catch. You could have thrown a better ball.
It's great. And Greg Olson, awesome on this call. He points out if Jimmy G puts the ball, he said he needed to, the way he described it, and former receiver, former pass catcher, Olson said,
call him a tight end.
What's that?
You can call him a tight end.
Yeah. Tight end, great tight end. Loved watching Greg Olson in Carolina. Anyway, he said that Garoppolo needed to read Ayuk's body language better, understand that the ball needs to be on his chest, and then once you get it there, you sort of dive between the defenders after you settle in that zone. And
something in passing. Something in passing that you mentioned. Olson did a great job. Like, you know, sometimes you just sort of listen to his background.
He's good every week.
He's really good. He understands what's going on, and he's informative. And I think if you're just an average fan, or, you know, us who are probably average plus, let's be honest, we're not experts. It's enjoyable to listen to. I will say this. You mentioned that play. Another play, because you mentioned Trent Williams. I think it was the first half. You can correct me. But Bud Dupree was offsides, yes, or he jumped early. And Trent Williams, in order to save his quarterback's life, had to hold him. Now, his hand grazed the face mask. You can even argue that it got the face mask. And by Trent Williams trying to save Jimmy G's life with the face mask, which is a 15-yard penalty, it supersedes the 5-yard offsides, which
correct
one caused the other.
It was 3rd and 11 on Tennessee's 21. Now they ended up making the field goal.
But my point is this: if the penalty that happens subsequent to the first penalty is a result of the first penalty, you're trying to save the life of your quarterback.
Agree completely. It's insane. It should just be what is the worst case? It should be no play. Like there's no way in hell you enforce the 15 yards on the guy who only grabs a face mask because if you just sprint offsides past somebody and just throw your hand into their or throw your face into their hand and they grab your face mask, it's 15 yard. I mean, that's ridiculous.
And I don't even know what the official said, or maybe they said on the telecast, the 15-yard penalty supersedes the 5-yard penalty. Not all the time. Sometimes there are two penalties on a play and one is worth more yards than the other. And it's a reset.
I think it's 10 and 5 that are offsetting.
15 Why? And 10.
Yeah. 10 and 5 or 15 and 10.
Why?
I don't.
Because usually a 15 is an egregious penalty and a 5-yard penalty is usually a run of the mill. You know,
that's idiotic.
That's something that
We didn't write the rule book.
That's you look like the person that wrote the rule book. They're probably wearing a snowman onesie when they did it. And
eggnog and tequila.
Yes.
There's probably logistical reasons for it, but they need to build a function into the rule book that says if an offsides induces a hold or a face mask.
It's probably never happened before, but I'm watching it thinking, well, Trent Williams just saved Jimmy Garoppolo's life because Bud Dupree had 4 steps to the quarterback. Now he could let Jimmy G get killed, and then what? Then we're complaining about they're not protecting the quarterback. So
the other thing too is if offenses would not want you to blow the play dead because this doesn't usually happen. You want the free play, as Patrick Seeley pointed out in the chat. And by the way, if you're in the chat, smash that like button. Let's get him up. Maybe we'll give away a hat or something like that. But you get those free plays. Aaron Rodgers makes a killing on those. Patrick Mahomes makes a killing on those. A.J. Brown caught one from Ryan Tannehill on a free offsides play earlier this evening that was a huge play that could help to jumpstart the Titans offense. So, I think that it's tough. You can't blow every offsides dead because the offense wants the shot at the free play when they jump offsides. But if you hold somebody as like a function of them going offsides, then that shouldn't be that you shouldn't lose 15 yards as a result of that.
So that would have been offsetting had it just been a regular hold. Also stupid. He was trying to save Jimmy Garoppolo's life. And look, this of all the things that the officials are, I'm to be mad at them about. This isn't at the top of the list.
They correctly called it.
They got it right.
What point in the game was that?
Where was it?
It was second quarter with 9:40 left. So it became 3rd and 26.
Oh no, they got a drive. They got a field goal drive. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're probably settling for a field goal anyway, but it's 3rd and 11.
So you get
It's 3rd and 11. If the refs had blown the play dead like they do sometimes, then Williams can't get penalized. And it's 3rd and 6, which is much more.
And the next play was a 6-yard pass to Deebo Samuel, which would have been first down. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that stuck out to me as just annoying. I know, I get it. I understand how the rules work and all that, but it's
dumb that Bud Dupree jumped off sides and the 49ers had to back up 15 yards. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if it's 3rd and long, maybe it makes sense to jump off sides. And worst case, you get offsetting because he's going to have to hold you because otherwise you're going to cream the quarterback.
Yeah, but you can also get like an unsportsmanlike.
I guess.
Or there should just be a clause in the rule book that says if the guy who jumped off sides gets the offense commits a penalty on him, it cancels each other out. Yeah.
There should be or even it's just like pick up the flag. Like, he can't grab his face mask and yank him to the ground. I mean,
and he didn't. He was trying to block him. He was so far past him, he didn't really have a choice.
Yeah,
he didn't want him to get a free shot on Tannehill or on Jimmy.
I think Trent Williams, who has been maybe the best left tackle, probably the best left tackle in football, maybe the best lineman in football this year,
should have won comeback player of the year.
Should have won comeback player of the year last year. I think he just jumped back in his normal stance, but Dupree was so.
Yeah, he was gone.
And was going so low that he got his hand out. He's just like, what the hell? Like, he's like, I didn't mean to grab his face mask.
Right. Anyway. Yeah, that was annoying. But anyway.
Okay.
Oh, ho, ho.
You know, it is the season of giving.
What are you going to give me?
Well, I'm not going to give you anything.
My onesie.
But I will say that if I were wanting to give a great present to someone I loved, like, not like you guys. I'm just kidding. I love you.
That's messed up.
Look, my point being is that we have all had a chance to try out ButcherBox. And when it comes to the meat that will be the centerpiece of your holiday meals, quality matters. When you invest in high-quality meat from ButcherBox, the benefits go way beyond a great-tasting meal. ButcherBox sources their meat from partners with the highest standards for quality. No more searching the grocery store for 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, wild-caught seafood, and more. Their sourcing decisions are made holistically, keeping the farmer, the planet, the animal, and your family in mind. And they deliver to you. We have all tried some ButcherBox. I have a giant list of things. I'm not going to read everything we've made with it, but I will say that one, this is like simplistic, but like their ground beef is incredible. And if you get a bunch of them into your fridge, you don't have to sprint out to the Teeter or the Wawa or the whatever the
Wegmans.
The Wegmans, yeah. I made quesadillas, tacos with that. That was fantastic. We did some Tex-Mex enchilada balls. I've been on a real Mexican kick lately. Also some smothered chicken breast.
Was that a shot at Breach?
No, I love Mexican food. anything you guys have made that stood out to you from your ButcherBox haul? We did some steak tips too. Oh my God, those things are freaking delicious.
Yeah, we went to town on the ground beef. We made some hamburgers that were absolutely fantastic. And like we get food delivered through other services and it doesn't compare. I mean, I'm not just saying that. It's legit amazing.
It's way better quality.
We got 2 50-pound boxes that was delivered by a guy who looked like he lifted weights for a living. Like that's how heavy the meat was. And I texted you guys when I got the picture because I got it first because I'm the most important person with podcasts and right. Everyone was blown away with how much meat it was. So I made the hamburgers. I didn't make it. My wife makes hamburgers. I think was finally her payday for being married to me for 20 years.
I got meat.
100 pounds of free meat.
My delivery guy, I'm not even sure. He was like, what is going on?
Yeah, man? What's going on here? Weights delivered. We've already gone through all the chicken. Like we use the chicken all the time. We made stir fry with it, which has been fantastic. We still have the chicken wings. I think we're going to bust those out for Christmas. Breach, what have you made?
Well, we're busting out the chicken wings too. Maybe we should just have Christmas dinner together. Dude, the beef is absolutely delicious. We love eating quesadillas because like we're just, you know, we have a 20-month-old toddler and we like to eat with her and we're trying to give her adult food. And like she could be the spokesman for ButcherBox because she would not eat meat for the longest time. And then we gave her this little quesadilla. And like Wilson was saying, the beef is just unbelievably good. I don't know what they do. Yeah, and she was just like, this is the yummiest thing ever. So well, I think
just,
she's...
It's because they don't... No hormones. It's just 100% free range, yeah.
And now we've got the roasted chicken to thawing. Thawing?
That's right.
That's going to be our Christmas dinner tomorrow.
There you go.
That's cool.
On Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to take some steaks up to my parents' place and we're going to grill steaks.
My neighbor's a foodie. Which is, I guess, the thing. And we had so much we couldn't fit it all in our fridge, so I gave him a couple things. And he actually sent me a text on how blown away he was with it. Oh, I'm not just saying that because they give us stuff. Because we've had other sponsorships, and my wife, she's like, all right, I don't need another 15 sweatshirts in the house. she doesn't drink beer, so I enjoyed the beer. But this is something that we can all enjoy. Everyone eats. And we haven't even touched the pork yet. Like, she's really excited about cooking up the pork stuff, so I'll have to report back on that. But our freezer is packed to the gills with ButcherBox, and I can't recommend it enough. Like I love it.
I mean, it's fantastic, and it's like a lot of meal services. Like you can cater what you want. You can get the quantity of meat in the box that you get each month.
If you go to the website, they have recipes.
They have a bunch of good recipes in there. Sure.
So.
And the other thing I will say is that my wife was literally complaining about this like 2 months ago before we even knew about ButcherBox was that, you know, all the supply chain issues that the grocery store just didn't have great meat anymore. She's like, should we just become vegetarians because we can't find good meat? She was getting tired of, and I think that's probably why our toddler wouldn't even eat the meat. Then ButcherBox shows up and now we're just back full meeting.
If we weren't doing a sponsored ad right now, I could say a million things about where Breach might supplement his vegetable eating.
Each box contains between 8 to 14 pounds of meat, depending on the box you choose. That's enough for 24 individual meals, packed fresh and shipped frozen for convenience, so you can save time on your next grocery store trip. Customize your own box to go with one of theirs. Either way, you get exactly what you want in this holiday. Butcher Box is giving new members, hello, one pack of bacon for free in every box. I bet that is thick cut. Plus, $20 off each box for the first 5 months of your membership. What? That's free bacon for free bacon for life, and up to $100 off if you sign up for ButcherBox now at butcherbox.com/picksix. That's butcherbox.com/picksix. You can see how professional I am. I hadn't read all the way down there. You get free bacon for life and $100 off. Go sign up, people. Get your meat. Anywho, so should. Is it weird that they never even considered Trey Lance coming into that game?
They haven't played him in months.
Weeks, yeah. Months. Maybe months, I guess. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Well, you know, maybe he should have played defense, though, because the 49ers' other issue that we haven't even touched on was the fact they could not stop Tennessee on third down, on any third down. Third and short, third and long. The Titans went 9-16. I kept a handy list of all the third downs they converted. They converted a 3rd and 7. A 3rd and 8, 3 3rd and 10s, a 3rd and 11, a 3rd and 15, and a 3rd and 23. And here's a fun fact for you. They're the only team in the NFL this season that converted 5 3rd downs of 10 yards or longer in the same game, and they converted 6 of them. So, I mean, I don't know how you let a team just convert 3rd and long left and right like that. I mean, the 3rd and 23 was just, it was just like the 49ers aren't winning. I think it was still 10 to 10 at that point. And you can't just let teams, it's such a momentum changing thing when that happens. And it was ugly.
Yeah. The first half, I was like, this Titans team looks terrible offensively. Second half, I was like, this Titans offense looks like the one that was running all over the Steelers last week in terms of the Steelers not being able to get off the field. I don't know what happened at halftime because both the offense and the defense did a 180 for both teams. And the 49ers looked like a team that, was, you know, they're a playoff team. Let's see what our guy Stephen O says. I had it up real quick. Stephen O says, before the game, there was a 91% chance they made the playoffs. Now it's 80, 81%, 82%. So they're fine. But you have
both
questions.
Both these teams still have the Texans left in their schedule, which, I mean, not a free win because we've seen them win 3 games, but still.
Yeah, but, I mean, the point is both these teams are going to the playoffs. But for now, we feel better about, there it is from Stephen O if you're watching on YouTube. And the Titans are going no matter what. They're going to win the division no matter what, it looks like at this point, 96.4%.
Yeah.
But again, next week we might feel differently about both these teams because I don't know what to make.
Well, and I don't think that.
Oh, and very quickly, we should note, do you know who is definitely going to the playoffs as a result of this game?
The Dallas Cowboys.
That's right. The Cowboys clinched a playoff berth as a result of San Francisco losing to the Tennessee, which doesn't seem like it should be a thing, but it is. And so the Cowboys are locked into a playoff berth, probably going to win the division. The, you know, the Titans are now 99.3% to make the playoffs. I mean, a big drop, 10% in these Sportsline simulations of San Francisco making it.
Yeah, I but still at feel, 82%, you have to feel pretty good about.
Yeah, sure, you feel pretty good about it. I mean, I think the bigger takeaway if you're somebody who backed San Francisco like I did is that you just have concerns about what happens if Jimmy G doesn't show up. And look, Jimmy G's in the, I mean, I'm trying to think who else is in this group, but it's the punching bag group of quarterbacks. When something
Kirk goes, Cousins.
Kirk Cousins,
who's the president of that? Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton, the founding member, right?
Founding member.
Bag. Yeah. I mean,
Jared Goff.
Yeah. When something goes wrong, it's like, hey, let's dog him. I mean, Carson Josh Allen was a member for a while. Carson Wentz. Yeah, for sure. And it's a lot of them, and that's fine. But people want to, you know, and I'm not ragging on people for getting their jokes off on Twitter or anything like that. But because, I mean, Lord knows.
Well, the 49ers now 1-6 this year when Jimmy Garoppolo throws at least one interception in the game.
The first one, terrible because it's red zone, but I don't know if it was completely his fault. The second one, it was only his fault. No one else's.
By the way, so the losses they've got this year at Tennessee, at Seattle, versus Arizona, since the bye anyway, and versus Indianapolis. I mean,
they're not bad losses.
Not bad losses at all. What did they have before the bye? Green Bay, Arizona, Seattle, and Green Bay?
Yeah, but I think the point is you maybe like to see them beat a few good teams. You know, like they beat the Bengals, they beat the Rams, but
oh, so Cincinnati's not a good team.
Self dunk.
I mean, seriously, that was a layup.
Breach was to do a layup at the other end of the court and somehow ended up under his own basket and dunked on himself.
I forgot to change sides at halftime. Right down there, dunked on it. But look, the 49ers are not guaranteed to make a playoff spot. They have the
82%. They're going
to
make it.
That is not guaranteed by any stretch. They obviously have to win January 2nd against the Texans at home.
But they still play the Rams. That's not a lock. So you could be staring at 9-8.
9-8 is not
guaranteed. Not a lock to get you in.
Guaranteed to get you in.
It's an 82% chance to get in as we sit here.
Sure. Because you have a bunch of teams in the.
Let's go through it. And by the way, is Kirk Cousins going to end up being a close contact to Dalvin Cook? That was a conversation earlier today.
Oh, that's true. Well, Dalvin is going to miss the next two games, I believe. But Alexander Mattison, who's also not vaccinated, cannot be, he won't be tested, right?
Why won't he? Has he already had it?
Like Rodgers? Yeah, no, he just came off the COVID list. Yeah, he had a positive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he won't be. If he had it, I don't know. If he's a close contact, he can still be tested, I would imagine. But
so the 49ers can no longer catch the Rams. They are rooting for, or they can't get, they're out of the division's toast now, right? I mean, they, it was probably done.
Yeah, anyway. They're not winning the division, according to Stephen O.
Yeah. But I'm saying now they are rooted. They are fans of the Rams this week because they want the Rams to beat the Vikings. They want all those 7-7 teams to lose: Minnesota, Philly, and New Orleans. Because if those three teams lose, they go back to where they were before tonight, where they had this cushion.
So the Vikings and Saints both getting hit by COVID is like best case scenario for the 49ers.
Because Ian Book starting for the Saints.
Yep, and they're now underdogs against Miami on Monday night. Minnesota has lost Dalvin Cook in Minnesota has COVID issues. And look, everybody's going to have COVID issues this week. It's going to be a very bizarre week for all of that. Philadelphia.
I don't have COVID issues.
I'm not hugging anybody.
That's because you don't have to test for the next 90 days, Ryan.
I'm not hugging anybody at Christmas, I'll tell you that much. You get an elbow pound from me, pal.
Elbow pound. The Brits and elbow pound.
Here's the crazy thing. If the Vikings, Eagles, and Saints all win, the 49ers will be on the outside looking in going into week 17. They won't be in one of the top seven spots.
Mm.
So the Rams remain on their schedule. And who else?
Houston, they were guaranteed 3 seconds ago. So
Houston Texans, is that what you said?
Yeah, the Rams and the Texans.
Yeah, so they'll be 9-8.
And okay.
Stephen O thinks they're getting in at 82%. So if you have an issue with math, take it up with Socrates or whoever you'd learn.
Well, I mean, the Saints, can't they get the 9-8? They have to play the Dolphins, Panthers, and Falcons.
Saints are starting Ian Book.
Yeah, so if they lose that, they have the Panthers and Falcons after that. They can't get the 9-8.
The Saints can easily beat the Dolphins.
The Eagles still have the Giants in Washington. They can't get the 9-8.
The Eagles are going to replace the Vikings.
I honestly think the Vikings have the most difficult route, the 9-8. So unless they upset the Rams.
All right, so we're going to give all the 7-7 teams a win this week just for sake of this.
You're doing your little computer.
We're giving the Vikings over the Rams?
They're 3-point dogs at home. They can win that game for sure. We're going to
3-point dogs at home never win, Brenton. That's a joke. The Titans are 3-point dogs at home.
So San Francisco, we're going to give over Houston in week 17. Vikings at Green Bay. I'm going to take the Packers there. That's an Aaron Rodgers slaughter special.
Yeah, right? I mean, come on.
Is that week 17 or week 18?
Week 17.
Okay. Stop it, Breach.
I'm going to take the Saints to beat the Panthers at home. I feel like we can all agree that that's fine, right?
Likely.
And this is
unless rough. Sam Darnold starts.
This is a rough. We're just going to see how this shakes out. If
baseball, fine. Go ahead.
Just because strength of victory won't be calculated into this because we're only doing these couple of games. And then what do we say? Philadelphia gets at Washington, Philly.
I'll take Philly. Taylor Heineke hasn't played in a while.
All right. So at this point, it would be Eagles and Saints in. And then week 18, we get the Saints at the Falcons.
I don't know who's winning that game. I mean,
either team could win that game. The Falcons already beat the Saints.
Let's give it to the Saints.
Okay, we'll give it to the Saints just for the sake of
making things interesting. Spicy.
The Vikings.
Loss.
They play the Bears at home.
No. Give them a win.
We're going to give them a win. And the 49ers are at the Rams.
49ers by 2 touchdowns.
Rams by 17.
It would basically come down to, I believe, again, based on just, yeah, so if the 49ers won that, they'd be 10-7. They would get in along with the Saints.
Are you making make them all nine?
Eagles, the Eagles won, they'd get into it 10-7.
Make them all 9-7. Eagles
have the Cowboys at home.
Make them all 9-7. I thought that's what we were going to do.
Well, 10-7. We were all 10-7.
10-7, sorry, yeah. So 10-7, what happens?
The problem is, oh, yeah. Oh, actually, we can actually do this. Nah, I don't. Yeah, we can. Philly gets a 6th seed.
What?
Wins a tiebreak over New Orleans and San Francisco based on best win percentage in conference games.
Wow.
And then it didn't give me a – oh, and then why would New Orleans get it over – it didn't give me a list of why that.
So it would be Philly and New Orleans. I have to
assume it would be strength of victory for New Orleans. But that's not – you can't calculate that without putting in every single game for the whole
schedule. That's fine. So, all right. Yeah. Okay.
In other words, San Francisco is – you have to win in week – This is a bad loss for the 49ers with a double-digit lead at halftime.
Well, if they're 82% chance to still make it, then Stephen must feel like they're going to win two of the three games.
Well, and real quick, you mean one out of two?
Two. I guess he feels pretty good about them winning out, or maybe he feels good about going 1-2 in the math for the other teams is such that they.
That seems more likely that the other teams aren't. The math doesn't add up for the other team. So I will say the strength of victory. The 49ers are at 415 and the Saints are at 551. And the 49ers play the Texans. That's not going to help their strength of victory. So I think now, the Saints probably have that over them.
Now is where I want to go back to my point from, I don't know what night it was, but it was one night in the last week where I pointed this out recently.
Yeah. You were talking to us for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Because we've been doing this every night for like 2 weeks. If the Colts beat the Cardinals on Christmas night, and the Rams beat the Vikings on Sunday, and then the Cowboys beat the Cardinals, and the Rams beat the Ravens, the Cardinals will be two games back of the Rams and unable to catch them in week 18 for the division, which means that the Rams will have clinched the division, at which point, as I said before, I really do think Sean McVay will consider sitting his starters because that's something he does aggressively in the preseason and in the final week of the season.
Yeah, he won't consider it. He'll just do it. There'll be no considering.
So what are the implications of that? Where are you going?
The 49ers have a free win.
And then the Rams with John Wolford.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. I think that is – so these two games this week make a huge difference because, you know, I mean, look, the Rams are at the Ravens and
we – and also if the Cardinals win, the Titans clinch the AFC South.
Oh, that's true. That would be nice. Okay.
All right.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some AFC seating as well. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Isn't it fun to go through like live on the playoff predictions? Nobody don't like that.
I like it better than the coin flip conversation for sure.
Yeah, whatever. We have 5,000 of these.
Brenton, how are you feeling about the 49ers right now before we start the AFC?
Not as good as I was.
I mean, I feel fine
about him, which is sort of weird.
Yeah, but you were always never on the 49ers bus. You got hit by the 49ers bus and Brinson was driving it.
Yeah, I laughed at you as you ran you over.
But now Wilson like took a knife and flattened the tires and you're about to crane off a cliff. So
I don't really feel
we're driving back from media night in the San Francisco Super Bowl. What are you gonna do?
We almost died that night. I don't feel that. I mean, look, the Titans had a great second half. I'm disappointed in the coaching and disappointed in the defense. Disappointed.
Why the coaching? Like, I don't know what Shanahan's supposed to do when this quarterback decides to throw.
Start double teaming AJ Brown. Do what the Ravens did to Devontae Adams last week. Put two guys on AJ Brown. Don't let AJ Brown beat you. He's beating you on every big play.
Jimmy Garoppolo beat them. That's who beat them.
Jimmy G had some really bad throws in that game. He had a great drive to tie it up at the end.
At one point early in the game, Greg Olsen was saying Jimmy G's like always happy. And I'm thinking, if I look like Jimmy G, I'd be happy all the time too, even if I am just a mediocre quarterback. Sure. So I don't know if he's still happy now, but that's a thought that crossed my mind when, you know, yeah, good for good looking people. They're happy. Yeah. What are they supposed to be?
Yeah. So on the AFC side of things, Tennessee moves up to the number 2 seed. New England 3. Buffalo is still 7 now.
That's a huge win for Tennessee because New England plays Buffalo. And that could affect New England. Obviously, sure. It can affect Buffalo, clearly. But in terms of the conversation for that, who did the Pats lose to last?
The Colts.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that game is looming large as well. At this point, every game looms large.
Well, it's a huge win for Tennessee because 4 days ago, we were talking about them. Outside, it was possible they might not win the division. The Colts were going to catch them.
Yeah.
Colts were plus 475 odds. And we were thinking, man, the Titans might go 1-2. And if they do that, the Colts can win the division by going 3-0. Now, if you're Tennessee, all you have to do is beat the Texans and you're in the playoffs. You win one of your final two games. You have the Dolphins and the Texans. If you lose to the Dolphins, whatever, as long as you beat the Texans, who are a really bad team. So you just have to win one of your final two games. And you know, when Mike Vrabel got the news, whatever, 2 or 3 weeks ago that Derrick Henry would probably be able to come back for the playoffs, all he was thinking was, oh my God, we just have to survive long enough to make it to the playoffs. Because when they have Derrick Henry, they are probably the best team in the AFC. I mean, we saw all the teams, they beat the Bills, they beat the Chiefs. They beat every good AFC team when they had Derrick Henry. And then you take him out and they're still beating teams like the 49ers.
When you mentioned they beat the Chiefs, that's where it gets interesting because the Titans schedule, and look, let's bear in mind, the Titans have lost to the Texans and the Jets. They have 5 losses on the season. The Titans are not afraid to lose to a bad team.
You know who else lost to the Jets?
No, can you tell me?
Team in Cincinnati called the Bengals.
Oh, we missed! I guess I shouldn't play the Randy Bullock drop when he hits a walk-off field goal on my Super Bowl team. But anyway.
Yeah, you know what, Wilson?
What?
The Jets have a strength of victory of 488.
That's
better
what you're
than
going
the
with?
Better than the Patriots and the Titans.
That's what you're going with, Santa Claus?
Steelers?
They beat good teams. That's it.
All right, go ahead with the Chiefs and the Titans.
Point being is Tennessee now has the Dolphins at home next week on a mini bye. And then in week 18, they're at the Texans. There is some buzz that we might see Derrick Henry there. The AJ Brown is back.
If they beat the Dolphins, I think there is a very little chance Derrick Henry plays unless the 1 seed is in play. But I think only if they win and get it. If they have to win and rely on like what the Chiefs do, that seems like too much risk to put Derrick Henry in there.
Probably. The Chiefs host the Steelers on Sunday afternoon, of course. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce both dealing with COVID issues. So the Chiefs should have a COVID issue. They don't have a kid. They don't have Harrison Butker. That's a big deal, I think. They're at the Bengals and at the Broncos. It wouldn't be crazy if the Chiefs slip up and it gives the Titans a window to jump in here and steal the number 1 seed.
Let's hope that Andy Reid has a better kicker plan than Matt Rhule did. Yes, he has more lead up time, but still.
I don't know that he does. Their kicker this week is going to be Elliott Fry, who has never attempted a kick in an NFL game, has never played in a regular season game.
But at least he's kicked at some point prior to 15 minutes before kickoff, is my point.
And also important in all this conversation is that the Patriots already beat the Titans as well. So if the Patriots beat the Bills on Sunday, and let's say the Chiefs lose the Steelers, just it's not impossible.
It's happening.
You would have 3, 10, and 5 teams up top. Tennessee would have a real shot at pulling it off, but they would need some help from the Patriots or whoever the Patriots are playing, which is the Dolphins and Jets, which is not ideal.
And it'll be interesting to see what we think 2.5, 3 weeks from now, if the Titans are the number 1 seed, whether we're like, this is the worst number 1 seed ever, or, oh my God, no defense wants to face Derrick Henry, because it could go either way at this point. Like,
If the Titans get the 1 seed and Derrick Henry gets another bye week to rest, Titans are terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we don't know what Derrick Henry's going to look like.
They beat the Colts twice. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Bills. I mean, that's
pretty good. Well, we just heard the teams they lost to. That's my point.
Titans get the one seed and they get Derrick Henry back, the Titans are terrifying. That's a simple, I mean, it's a simple analysis.
We don't know what Derrick Henry looks like. I know he'll be back.
It's like he's huge and he runs fast.
But we don't know how healthy he is. Yes, he's back, quote unquote. But AJ Brown and Julio Jones were back and they looked like crap because they weren't 100% healthy. That's
AJ Brown looked okay.
He started slow.
He looked fine at the end. Cam Akers, by the way, maybe coming back for the Rams.
How did Julio Jones look?
Yeah, Julio Jones, that trade is looking bad for the...
Well, my point is, and AJ Brown missed a ton of time. That's my point.
Like, Julio never stepped up and filled the role.
Well, that Ryan, that should, like, that goes against your point because he missed a ton of time, came back in his first game and caught 145 yards and a touchdown. That's like, that's not a bad thing that he didn't show any rust.
Can you read between the lines, Breach?
You know what? You got a ring finger? I'm not going to marry you. I got married.
One of my nieces pulled that on me on last night. She goes,
You've heard that before, right?
No, she goes, look, parentheses.
How old is your niece?
14.
So Wilson is stealing jokes from a 14-year-old.
Oh, I have to get my dog real quick. He's banging on the door.
I have to Wilson, get my dog on
this real quick. He's scratching the door.
All right, Breach. Oh, Weisenheimer, Super Bowl odds. You love the Titans so much. You taking plus 1,000?
What is that? Are the Chiefs plus 200 there?
Chiefs are plus 200. The Patriots are looking at Super Bowl odds if you're just listening. The Patriots to win the AFC are plus 450. Bills plus 500. I don't know about that. Colts plus 900. Titans plus 1,000. Which one do you like the best there?
Well, I would say considering the Titans have 4 wins against the teams above them on that list, that is a pretty generous value. I think they're absolutely the best value there. I'm not going to take the Patriots because we saw what happened to Mac Jones against the Colts, and that's literally what happens to rookie quarterbacks every year in the playoffs. We see it all the time. So I don't think they're going to win the AFC because Mac Jones would either going to melt down the wild card or the divisional round. Running it 47 times isn't going to work in the playoffs.
It is not sexy, but I'm taking the Chiefs. I said after the midpoint weight of the season, after I sort of got back on the Chiefs bandwagon, I said they're going to win the division and they're going to win the AFC. I still feel that way. Like the Bills plus 500 feels like wasting money. They're the 7th seed as we sit here. The Bengals plus 1,700. Brinson, where are you at on that for them to win the AFC?
No, I don't think so. Although I do like Joe Burrow in the playoffs.
Do you know what's hilarious? If you look at this AFC value here, the Chiefs were part of Brinson's Super Bowl draft. The Patriots were a part of Wilson's Super Bowl draft. The Bills were a part of my Super Bowl draft. So we have the top three, but then old C-Rad back there with the next two with the Colts and the Titans.
Oh, he got the Titans. I'm trying to remember who had the Titans.
Titans at the 3rd round.
Dang it.
I think the Titans are the best value. I mean, Wilson, the Bills were our preseason pick to go to the Super Bowl. I don't hate it.
Yeah, they need to get hot. But they're the 7th seed right now. They're not winning the division.
I just don't trust Carson Wentz with the Colts. Because if they get into a game where somebody shuts down Jonathan Taylor, you know, like if they play the Patriots like they did the other day, Belichick is going to look at that film and say, all right, here's what happened, here's what happened, here's what happened. And they did bottle up Jonathan Taylor for most of the game until that, you know, whatever super long touchdown run toward the end that iced it. Yeah, I guess the Chiefs. Wilson, you just talked to me on the Chiefs, I think.
Plus 200. I mean, you know, sprinkle it.
You don't really sprinkle 2-1.
Yeah. Wilson.
I do.
Brinson has that trademark. You have to do the sprinkle.
Oh, yeah. I'm slipping in the ATS, but thanks to Jimmy G, but I can
sprinkle. I thought I was going to catch you when I went like 12-4 last week, but I'm still like 10 back.
You got 12-4 last week.
Yeah, something like that.
No, you didn't.
I don't remember.
I was just looking at it. No, I'll tell you what you went. You went 10-6, just like me.
Same thing. It's
JLC went 12-4. Prisco went 11-5. Wilson's getting a little precarious.
Not really.
No?
No. I still find
seven games on Prisco.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
If Derrick Henry is 100% healthy, which if they make it to the AFC title game, I think the Titans are the best team in the AFC. So
if he's 100%, I 100% agree with you, but I just want to see what he looks like in the first few carries.
I'm just going to bet the Titans right now.
I think Brinson has a bout of diarrhea. He just sprinted off the screen pretty quickly.
I'm logging in and betting. How much should I put on the Titans? I need to know Derrick Henry's health. I can't do it.
$4. $4.
If I don't know. that $5 would pay up 50. Yeah, the Titans. Wilson, you don't like the Titans. It seems like you like are not a.
No, I like them. They're boring. They've always been boring, but they play well in the playoffs. Okay, my concern is Derrick Henry. I need him to be 95%+. He can't be out there 89%. And if he gets, God forbid, he gets hurt like early in the, you know, early in the first quarter of his comeback, you're like, oh boy, here we go.
Brinson, who you got to win the AFC?
I mean, I think the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs or the Patriots would be who I would bet on. Obviously, those are the top two favorites. I think the Bills, if the Bills were like closer to 10-1, I'd be interested. 5-1 is think about it like this. If Buffalo is, let's say we think the Patriots win the division, right? So that means Buffalo is the 5, 6, or 7 seed. They've got to go on the road and win 3 straight games to get to the Super Bowl to win the AFC, correct?
Yes.
I think it's more than likely because of the teams up top, and you're talking about, you know, KC, New England, Tennessee, and one of those AFC North teams, that the 3 games they play, you'd be better off parlaying them as a money on the money line for the Bills than taking 5-1.
Here's what I'll say.
See what I'm saying?
If you think, and you feel more than 50% confident about this, that the Steelers are going to be a banged up Chiefs team, then you might want to take the Bills right now, 5-1.
No, if I don't think 5-1. If you told me the Bills were going to, this is why those numbers are the same, the Bills and the Pats, is that it basically boils down to who do you think will win the division?
I think the Bills are going to beat the Patriots this weekend.
Then you would like the 5-1 maybe because they get home field.
I think that, and I think the Steelers have a chance because of everyone's banged up for the Chiefs. And then that gets the Chiefs to 10-5, and the Bills are then at 9-6.
For me, like I would rather, if I'm going to take, if I think the Patriots are winning the division, then I would rather take the Chargers at 16-1 than the Bills at 5-1.
I also think it's fascinating that every AFC North team, whether it's the Ravens could win it, Bengals could win it, whatever, but they're just completely written off because that team's going to get a home game in the wild card round. Yeah. And so that's some interesting value there. You have the Ravens at plus 1600 and the Bengals at plus 1700. You know, that's whatever team you think is going to win.
I would say the Bengals are pretty good value at 17-1.
To win the division? To win the conference?
To win the conference just because they're a 3-point favorite at home against the Ravens.
Who only have 13 healthy defensive players.
And they would theoretically eliminate the Ravens from the division if they beat them. Then they have to play the Browns. So basically, you have to beat the Browns in week 18. And then you have, you know, 3 games, but 2 at, I'm trying to think, how's this? 1 at home? Maybe, I guess it depends on who wins. But like if they're upsets, you might get 2 at home, but probably 1 at home if you're the 4 seed, which Cincinnati's likely to be.
Right. 4 seed could theoretically play, I guess, all the games.
Could play 3 home games in theory, sure. At which point your 17-1 would feel great because it means 3, 2, and 1 were knocked off. Yeah, it's look, these future odds have been shrunk dramatically over the last 18 to 24 months. I mean, there's not, you know, like if the Bengals lose to the Ravens, then all of a sudden you feel terrible about that 17-1 ticket.
Right. Which is why it's 17-1 because the winner of that game is going to vault up probably into the top 5.
That's what I was saying about the Patriots and Bills. They're basically at the same odds.
But those odds are so low that they're not good value, whereas you're talking about two teams where if you just bet on both of them, to be honest, at plus 1,600 and plus 1,700, because one of them is going to vault up after Sunday.
Correct. If the Bengals beat the Ravens, not even handily, they're probably will be 10-1 to win the AFC because you'll feel like they're in control of the division. And that's sort of where these odds come from. At that point, the Ravens are going to plummet because you're like, will they even make the playoffs, you know? So, yeah. Of course, the Ravens are out of the playoffs as we speak right now. All right, anything else we need to cover?
Chiefs are 10-4 in the season. They're 5-0 against the NFC, 5-4 against AFC teams.
Wah, wah, wah.
The fun fact.
That's a fun fact. Okay, that's it. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, we made it to Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve, everybody.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. It's a little creepy, but whatever.
It's a little creepy. But no, keep going.
He knows if you've been bad or good. So it'll be good.
Clear, actually, you know what we'll do real quick?
Get a tiny package. Dan is delivering all the tiny packages tonight.
Hey, Breach. Hey, Breach. What did Santa Claus bring you for Christmas? Oh, come on, Debo.
He's queuing Debo.
It's a tiny package.
I was wondering what he's doing.
Go Tar Heels.
Debo's drinking his eggnog and tequila. He doesn't know what's going on anymore.
Actually, Clarence, you had a good question. So we're not going to do a before or after show for who do you think wins on Christmas? You can listen to the Picks podcast in your feed on Friday.
Packers and Colts.
Yeah, the Packers are winning and the Colts are winning. That was a good call there.
Packers are winning, Colts are winning. I agree on both.
Oh, no. That means that one of them's losing.
Oh, yeah. Man, the freaking NFL Network guys went 3-for-3 on San Francisco. I almost flipped back and took Tennessee when that happened. All right, anyway, we will be back on Sunday night. Well, of course, we have recorded the Picks pod. It's in the feed for Friday morning. You can also watch it on YouTube now if you're so inclined, or at any point, whenever. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We will not be recording on Christmas. So Merry Christmas to all. We are grateful for all of you wonderful podcast listeners and YouTube viewers. You make this job that we do much more enjoyable. And man, what a run of professional football we've been on here.
Mm-hmm. Happy Christmas.
We'll see you guys on Sunday. Check out the Picks feed. And Merry Christmas, everybody. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.